when we were worshiping earlier, we sang the song, "In life and death for eternity, O Lord, be there for me." We want to invite the Lord into the areas of our life where we're experiencing pain, where we're experiencing dryness, where we experience that we're bruised or wounded. So I want us to hear some words now and then respond to those words. But let's continue to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit among us. Let's continue to be open to the Lord speaking to us, both personally, but also for us as Antioch. So we're going to hear, first of all, from Neil, then from Emzo, and then from Nadia, and then from Reiner, and then we'll respond to those words, which is all about presenting ourselves before the Lord in humility. So if Neil would come up and give his word.
I'm going to read an extract from Psalm 32, which was one of the psalms that we were meditating on over the summer. And really was a powerful influence on my life, at least, and I think in all of us. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer a prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. My sense is that psalm continues to be for us. As we grapple with perhaps the difficulties of the past, and some of us are feeling bewildered, some of us are feeling hurt and damaged. Let us indeed have no deceit. Let us indeed acknowledge our sins to God our Father, and then our sins will be covered and removed.
So as we were praying, this word kept coming back to me, relentless, relentless pursuit. And while that was in my mind, this passage from 1 John chapter 3 came to my head also. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And the strong sense that I was getting was that the Lord wants to reassure us that he will always relentlessly pursue us. He's always coming after us. But he's already done everything for us. We just have to lay ourselves bare before him with all our faults and our weaknesses, and there's no judgment there. God will take us back if we come back to him. And then if you go on towards the latter part of John, one of the verses that really struck me also is just, so we know and believe the love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he loved us first. And so I think the Lord's just trying to reassure us and remind us that he's already done everything for us. He loves us, so if we come to him with a humble heart and lay ourselves bare before him, we can have confidence and we can have freedom to just love and serve one another.
It's not a long message. It's just three words: humility, humility, humility. That's what the Lord wants, I think.
We heard the words earlier on this afternoon. I know that my Redeemer lives. It's not if he lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. How do you know that? Because when God gave you faith, he planted that seed, those words, into your heart. And it's what I do with that, what we do with that, that matters. What we're doing here this afternoon is we're feeding it and we're watering it, that it would grow more, that faith, that belief would grow deeper in our hearts. And the world shouts out at us, why? What's that mean? What does it mean that I know that my Redeemer lives? It means that Jesus has done what he has said he would do. He has died for you and for me. Our sins are washed away. Our place is in heaven on the last day. When that trumpet calls, you will be there in heaven if you accept Jesus as deeply as those words speak. If you really know, that's what I want to know, Jesus, that he has risen for me and for you. Thank you, Lord.
Let's first of all, let's take a couple of minutes just to respond to that word where we are in our seats, and then we'll go back into worship and respond to that word in worship. But this is a pretty clear word for us. This is pretty clear what the Lord is saying to us, that our Redeemer lives, and we need to recognize our sin. We need to be humble before him. We need to not be afraid of coming before him, because when we come before him, he will be merciful and he will forgive us. So the Lord's inviting us to lay ourselves before him this afternoon, warts and all. Lay ourselves before him, warts and all, this afternoon, without fear, because the Lord says, no fear, there is no judgment, so come before me without fear. Now that word's a word for all of us, but that word might be a word for somebody. It might be a word for a few of us this afternoon. If you think that word's for you, maybe you could let me know before the end of the meeting, because we want to decide whether to do a time of ministry or do something else this afternoon. So if you feel like the Lord's speaking to you and you want some prayer, let me know and we'll get a ministry team together. But let's just dwell on those words for a minute or two, and then Owen, who I also call Tig, will lead us back into the courts of the Lord.
I just felt the Lord lead me to this. It's in Daniel chapter 4. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honoured and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? And at the end of Nebuchadnezzar, he was restored as a king. We have a new king. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride he is able to humble. And I just... I know that God loves us and he's in charge, kings are not in charge and prime ministers and all the other lot are not in charge. God's on the throne, God's in charge, and he loves us.
Lord, we thank you that you are the God who made us. You made us for yourself. You call us by name. You keep coming after us and drawing us to yourself. Lord, we thank you for your faithful love. We thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, send us your Spirit that we might respond ever more wholeheartedly to you and your love. Amen.
Amen.